believe it or not, we're going to finish 1 Timothy. And you thought we might in that there's only two verses remaining. But one of those two happens to be one of what's called the triumvirate, the three of Paul's most stern warnings. And he warns in Colossians chapter 2 about philosophy, and my, the philosophy of our time is kind of a psycho babble, and perception is reality, and all of that business. So he warns against that, and then the supposing that gained is godliness, love of money, of 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10, and here we are now 10 verses later. And Paul says to Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and opposition. Now, all those things, profane, vain babbling, oppositions, that's all from one source. Science, falsely so-called. False pseudo-science. So much science today has an agenda. And its agenda often is to get rid of the God of the Bible, and particularly creation.
Yes.
We've been told many, many things that are provable lies.
Yes.
You can deal with whether it be the Piltdown Man, you can deal with Louis Leakey and find out that these wonderful people lied. And the Piltdown Man turns out to have been a pig. And there's all sorts of examples. I read in Science magazine that fully one-third of the supposedly known dinosaurs never existed and are the product of paleontological error. They find a bone. Oh, this one flies. Oh, this one walks like a duck. And they come out with two different dinosaurs. Now, the Bible doesn't care one way or the other. There's giants in the land. We know that. But it's sad that so much evidence is out there to say that whether you believe in global warming or not, you ought to care that it's been proven, figures have been skewed to favor the existence of it.
Yes.
I mean, if you believe in it, you want everybody to agree with your belief in it. So you don't want your guys lying.
Yep.
If you don't believe in it, you don't want those guys lying.
Yep.
Truth is where we ought to be.
Amen.
But science has such an agenda these days. I am a subscriber to the Skeptical Inquirer magazine, which puts out a lot of books from Prometheus Books. And their whole premise is the debate between science and religion. Everything from the Big Bang, which they can't prove, to black holes, which they can't prove, to 700 to 2,000 exoplanets, which they think are there and can't prove.
Yes.
So, that subscription, that $20 a year got me a book. And I'll get some magazines, but all it's done is demonstrate to me that these people tend to think Catholicism represents Christianity, and that the guy that comes out of the double wide trailer in Alabama to see the UFO land, he represents fundamentalism.
Yeah.
Well, science, falsely so called, wouldn't be then true science.
No.
True science, I'd be good with. Science that has an agenda, science that is driven by politics and money, I've got a problem with that. So, Paul is telling Timothy to be faithful to this, to keep the essence of his stewardship faithful to Bible truth.
Yes.
And not to the vagaries of science, falsely so-called. It's It's not simply a couple of closing verses here. Note back at verse 16, he said amen at the end of that verse. It's not that the book really ended there. Now this is just a benediction. We had a problem with verses 15 and 16 in that he put so much in them. And now we've got a problem with verse 20 because he raises such an important point. Now, babbling, so the word babble comes into your language as a product of the Tower of Babel, where God confounded languages, and by such, he instituted nations and languages and separations of peoples. Babbling goes back to that, and so I am to be forewarned about profane. Anything that's profane is that which is opposed to the sacred.
Yes.
And I've given you a definition with five different points to it. That it is an opposition to holiness and God in the Bible. It's not objective. We need to understand that scientists brag on their objectivity when they're not.
That's it.
I found out something early on. I was early teens, and I found out that to win a journalism award, I needed to go to a secret room in the United Nations and learn the plot of One Worldism. I needed to learn. No, it's not that. People want to come up with all these conspiracies and all this goofy stuff with the Trilaterals and the Bilderbergers and the Illuminati. And I'm like 13, 14 years old in high school. And I see, oh, that's how you win an award. And so, as I wrote about a teacher who was here from El Salvador as an exchange teacher, One Worldism. Mm-hmm. And she's teaching our kids multiculturalism. I'm getting in the agenda.
Yes.
And that was the first journalism prize I ever won.
Yeah.
And the Toledo Blade gave me a book with my picture in the Toledo Blade and yada, yada, yada. I think I was a sophomore in high school. Freshman, I don't think I opened my mouth the whole year, but a sophomore, I started to Nobody had to do that to me. Nobody had to take me to the United Nations into a secret room. Nobody had to take me to Brussels, Belgium, and, oh, you've got this computer, and teach me all. They didn't have to do that.
No.
There's a big old system out there.
Yes.
And if you want to be the next Katie Couric, you're not conservative.
Right.
If you want to be the next Peter Jennings, you are not a Bible believer.
That's it.
So it just all oozes that way. How do you manipulate a society of 307 million people? You can't do it one at a time.
No. Mm-hmm.
You need a big philosophical shovel to do that.
Yeah.
So we want everybody to come together. We want the Christians and the Jews to come together. We want One Worldism. So let's give the Nobel Peace Prize to Anwar Sadat, the terrorist, and Jimmy Carter, the knucklehead.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you hear the agenda?
Uh-huh. Oh, look what's happened. They're all coming together.
How'd that work out for you? The truth of Israel's enemy going back to Abraham and Sarah still runs.
Yeah.
Well, then there's vain. Vain is empty and it's worthless, and that's going to be fleshy. That's going to be humanity. So yeah. Paul warns about profane, and there's that which opposes God, and it's a science falsely so called. And it's interesting, that word science is not in most new versions. the American Standard, the New American Standard, which are peas out of the same pod, owned by the Lockman Foundation. O Timothy, guard that which is committed unto thee, turning away from the profane babblings and oppositions of the knowledge, which is falsely so called. What kind of knowledge? Paul singles out science. Now, I love reading science books. I got one recently from our Greene County Library that is so far over my head, I got through this one in a day. Because all I did was really look at the pictures. But fractals are interesting.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, the Mendelbrot fractal and how it is a map and a mathematical map of how chaos theory might work, and it's just fun. You need to get yourself a desktop that is of there's the Mendelbrot fractal, and if you hone in on this, it's that. And then when you hone in on the tiny little edge of that, it's that. And it repeats itself and repeats it, and it's just fun. There's something there, mathematically there. And I'm fascinated by that because I know who created all things, and I know that all things are composed of God and His creation. So this to me is just fun. He gives me so many. There's a picture of a three-dimensional fractal, and he stumbled on it. If you wanted to measure the coastline of England, and you did it with a pole that was 10 foot long, how many poles would it take to measure the coastline of England? Whatever that number is, if you had a pole that was 1 foot long, you'd be going in and out more of the jets and take a whole lot more poles.
Yeah.
What if you had one that was a millimeter?
Yeah.
Why, then you get detail that you never get with a 10-foot pole.
Yeah.
So he's saying by continuing to reduce and by continuing to reduce, you get to a point where it reproduces itself. And I'm thinking, So anyhow, it's way over my head. I enjoyed looking at the pictures. I don't let it intimidate me.
No.
Because I know enough Bible to know my Bible is true. And I've read enough science to know that most of it is guesswork. I've been lied to about dinosaurs. They admit now that a third of them don't really exist. They've figured out that there ought to be black holes without having observed one.
Yes.
They've come up with up to 2,000 exoplanets, never having seen any of them. Yeah. The ozone hole is supposed to be a bad problem, but for all I know, it was their creation.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
They've only known there was an ozone hole since the 50s. I don't know that I believe in global warming, although this has been the warmest winter. The time in which to say that would have been last year, when we were covered with snow from October to March. But climate and the one season, you know, the one does not define the other. But I'm surrounded by false science.
Yes.
I have to really be heads up to that. I said to you before, and I don't know why you would have forgotten, because everything I say is so very memorable. I said to you before, I found myself using the term fossil fuels. What does that require, that there be fossil fuels?
Fossils.
Fossils. Now, they don't pump 1 gallon. They pump millions of gallons. take a lot of fossils, wouldn't it?
Yes, it would.
If you have a 5,000-pound dinosaur, do you get 5,000 pounds of oil out of it?
No.
No. So, it's going to take a stack of dinosaurs. It pretty well goes from here to there, isn't it?
Yep.
And it could take a long time, isn't it?
Yep.
So, when I use the term fossil fuels, what have I done? I said, well, maybe I don't really believe Genesis.
Yeah. Yep.
Now, here's the point that I'm really trying to make. Did any of us even know there is an alternate theory to fossil fuels?
No.
It's got a name. It's in books. A-B-I-O-T-I-C. The abiotic or non-organic theory is that oil originates from natural chemical processes that take place in the mantle of the earth on a constant basis, continuing even today. The abiotic theory of oil's origin has predominated among Russian and Ukrainian geologists and petrochemists since the end of World War II. Why is that news? Because fossil fuels means don't run out.
Yeah.
It took billions of years. The Earth's 4.3 billion years old, and it only had dinosaurs for the last 200 million, and then they, you know, a big asteroid came and gone. And we can't make enough fossils anymore. No. I'm not saying the Russian scientists and the Ukrainian scientists are any smarter than our guys, but they might be less agenda-driven.
Yes.
I'll promise you the press is.
Yes.
So, Google abiotic, and guess what you're going to find? 250,000 hits. It's knowable. Common knowledge, generally speaking, is a lie. Have
yes.
a nice day.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that amazing?
Mm-hmm.
Abiotic fuel. I just got smarter.
Yes.
So, in the process of time, I've learned there is such a thing as science falsely so-called. They say they're objective. They say it's all about provable and repeatable results. As Peggy Lee famously attacked the Bible by singing, it ain't necessarily so. Which comes from Porgy and Bess, and was written by Hershey. So, I think the next time I use the term fossil fuels, I will have pretty well trained myself that that's a knucklehead thing for me to say, and I will correct myself, and chances are I have it now in my noodle that I won't say it any longer. We've got in Daniel chapter 1, children in whom was no blemish, who were favored and skilled in all wisdom and cunning and knowledge and understanding science. Bible's not afraid of science. We had people back in Daniel's day who were scientists. You've got artificers. In Genesis 4, you don't have cavemen. So the Bible speaks to a lot of things that we might think it doesn't. I've given you a very considerable list.
Yes.
Now, the very considerable list I have given you, I had some of them, but for most of them, I'm greatly indebted to the Defender Study Bible done by Dr. Henry Morris, who is a creationist. And,
yes.
And his Defender Study Bible does no job at all when it comes to Pauline doctrine, but he is going to load you up with scientific information from strange places such as Job.
Amen.
There's more about the earth's creation in Proverbs 8 than there is in Genesis 1.
Yes.
And so somebody who knows that and respects that and puts notes in the Bible, that's useful.
Yeah.
So the Bible has things to say on a great many topics, and I've given you, and we'll not bog down in this, architecture, math, astronomy, botany, and medicine, obviously music, navigation, zoology. The hydrologic cycle is in Ecclesiastes. All the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full. Where does it go? Onto the place from whence the rivers come. Thither they return again. Oh, it evaporates up and rains down. The rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth the bud. So, your Bible has much more in it than the credit for which it is given. In the shape of the earth, you read in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 22, it is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth. Guess what? The earth's a circle.
Yep.
Haven't we all been vilified as the church by you think the earth's flat?
See, that's Rome.
That's Roman Catholicism, yeah. Pure and simple.
Yes.
That's not a Bible belief.
No.
So the flat earth, that came from popes.
Yes.
Popes that kill people. The Bible, Job chapter 26, verse 10, he hath compassed the water with bounds until the day and night come to an end. For the day and night come to an end, rotation helps, does it not?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Job 38, verse 14, it is turned as clay to the seal. What are you doing, you mold clay? So, there's more in the Bible than it is credited. The idea that the God who created it all is obligated to write a science book would be something required of humanity rather than what God's oriented. God's orientation, 98% of the Bible, or the percentage I gave you in Indiana, 94.7% of the Bible, focuses on Christ ruling over an earthly kingdom with his people in dominion on the earth.
Yes.
That's the focus.
Yes.
Not about you, believe it or not. So, near the end, wasn't it Dr. Faraday that had such success because she went by the Bible using running water instead of washing in a basin?
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm.
And so just by using running water, he wasn't washing in the same germs, and he didn't have the infectious problems other people had. In 1 Kings chapter 7, and I'm clear at the end now, in 1 Kings chapter 7 and verse 23, you see, he made a molten sea, he made a big pot, bathtub, 10 cubits from one brim to the other. It was round all about, and its height was 5 cubits, and a line of 30 cubits did compass it round about. What this, some say, is a proof that the Bible is ignorant, because the Bible doesn't say it was 31.416 cubits roundabout, requiring pi. But the 10 to 30 is just simply a rounding off, and it works perfectly for the 30 if it's 9.67 to 30, but you can go the other way with it as well. I'm going to say to you, that's pretty good shooting in First Kings, isn't it?
Yeah.
And so I'm going to credit the Bible with a demonstration of pi rather than attack my Bible because it doesn't give me the points after the decimal. Job, by the way, is the book that you see referred to over and again on this list that I've given you. You see astronomy, I find it in Job, and condensation, I find it in Job, springs in the sea, I find it in Job, rotation of the earth, I find it in Job, gravitation, I find it in Job, a previous ice age, I find it in Job. Job 38 is one of the more remarkable chapters in all Scripture. And the reason is a lot of time has passed.
Yes.
Job is the oldest book in the Bible. I know Moses wrote about things that happened before Job by inspiration. But as far as the writings themselves, Job antedates Moses.
Yes.
Job's not under the law. Then the Lord answered Job out of a whirlwind and said, by the way, Joshua went up in a whirlwind. Mm-hmm. He didn't go in a chariot.
Elijah,
I'm sorry. Who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? Words without knowledge. That's going to be science falsely so-called. Gird up thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee, and answer thou me. Where was thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? We haven't figured out that yet. What was the condition of humanity at creation? We want to make it a Big Bang. We want to make it evolution. Evolution. Isn't that what most people believe?
Mm-hmm.
Hasn't it been taught to boys and girls now for decades?
Yes.
And by evolution, is not that natural selection and survival of the fittest?
Mm-hmm.
Natural selection, survival of the fittest.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm wrong, say so.
No.
Aren't those basic precepts?
Yeah. Right.
How's it going to work out then when governments want to be socialistic and everybody has the same?
Survival of the
world. Aren't the same people who want to govern so that everybody has the same? Aren't they evolutionists? What's their problem?
Doing 2 makes 6.
They're saying evolution got us to where we are. Now we're going to stop that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And have everybody be the same. It hasn't worked up till now, and it won't work later, and I don't even believe in evolution.
Nope.
Equality of opportunity is not the same thing as guaranteeing equality of results. Have a nice day.
Amen, amen.
He says, who hath laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest? Who hath stretched the line upon it? So how big is the galaxy? How big is... I don't think the Hubble constant is right. Now, I'm not smart enough to really offer much along that topic, but the Hubble constant is the measure by which we have determined how distant the stars and galaxies are. So we measure it by a constant number. If that number's wrong, then everything's in a different place.
Yes.
Which might explain how we can shoot a satellite at Mars and miss.
Yeah.
Not changing from inches to centimeters.
strangers.
That's so funny.
Might have been a problem.
When the morning stars, verse 7, sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy, where were you? Who shut up the sea with doors when it breaks forth, as if it had issued out of a womb? Mm-hmm. There's springs all over here.
Yes.
Why is there a balance? When I made the cloud the garment thereof, and the thick darkness a swaddling band for it, and break up for it my decreed place, and set bars and doors, and said, hitherto thou shalt come, but no further. There's your space program.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You ain't going any further.
Yeah.
You may get to the moon, but don't take your hat off. Because you will instantly die. Mm-hmm. It's uninhabitable.
Yes.
Hitherto shalt thou come, but no further, and here shall thy proud waves be stained. Hast thou commanded the morning since thy days? We changed daylight savings time to standard time. But the length of the days is pretty much the same.
Yes.
Now, we've got a gentleman running for president who not only wants to colonize the moon, but years ago, do you remember his mirrors in space? He was going to put a grid of mirrors in space so that then we would have light reflected from the sun bounce off the mirrors in space and illuminate the dark side of the earth so we never have another night time.
Isn't that how people start fires?
That would be no. But Mr. Gingrich actually proposed mirrors in space to light the highways. I'm kind of glad there is a dark.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, well. So, God goes on here grilling Job. Verse 17, have the gates of death been opened unto thee? Now, medical science has done marvelous things. Amazing accomplishments. But we all pretty well die pretty much like we're all going to die. And we made perhaps death more, I don't want to say palatable, but most people dying don't even know they are. They're asleep. We haven't changed the death rate. We haven't. I'm supposing the life expectancy has increased most considerably in America as opposed to the rest of the world. And I think it was in the late 30s. Back in the 1600s, and now it's in the 70s. So that's a tremendous increase in life expectancy. It's almost caught up with Psalm chapter 90, verse 10.
Yeah. Yeah.
3 score and 10, and by reason of 4 score. Verse 25, who hath divided a water course for the overflowing of waters, or a way for the lightning of thunder to cause it to rain on the earth? They've seeded clouds. There's all sorts of science fiction things that have been said, but pretty much it rains when it rains. So God asks all these questions and no one's been able to answer them yet. I find it fascinating to read, whether it be Carl Sagan, the best book I read probably because he wrote it so I could understand it, is by Simon Singh, The Big Bang. And it is a marvelous read, and I would recommend it to anybody. He raises for me the question of the Hubble constant in a manner that I can read it and understand it. And there are others who doubt the Hubble constant and explains to me how some of the thinking of science got where it is. I read it and it doesn't undermine my Bible belief. one scintilla, actually, I take my Bible and bring it to what this gentleman has to say about science and particularly physics. And I think to myself, you know, if they actually didn't have an agenda and just dealt with what's there. Folks, no question the people at the Large Hadron Collider in CERN have an agenda.
Yes.
It's the Higgs boson, and they're going to find it. Why? Because that's the only thing they're interested in.
Yes.
That's the agenda. Find the Higgs boson. Why do we have to find the Higgs boson? Because that will identify for us the theory of everything. And if we get rid of the theory of everything, then we clearly don't need God.
No.
Because the theory of everything will allow us to extrapolate how everything came to be without God.
Yeah.
So the Higgs boson, if they don't find that, why, there's going to be heartbreak. It's important, I think, for Christian people to have read Charles Darwin, to understand his philosophy and where he came from. This one book is probably, aside from the Bible, as influential as any one book that's been written since the Protestant Reformation.
Yeah.
From it comes anthropology. The source, and I make no excuse for preachers preaching the heresy, the error of Shem, Ham, and Japheth, but the problem of anthropological divisions of races starts here.
Yes.
Starts with Darwinian evolution.
Yes.
And some folks are more evolved than other folks.
Mm-hmm.
That's why some folks can play quarterback and other folks can't. That's how it plays out. Starts here.
Yes.
The fact that the pulpit embraced the philosophy in order to maintain the financial advantage of slavery, that's a separate problem that starts here.
Yes.
You need to know about that. I was watching you wouldn't know this existed, I wasn't real sure it'd be crowd. It was the Congressional Black Caucus of Conservatives.
Yeah.
I thought, who other than J.C. Watts is going to show up? But they had several people. And one guy, very impassioned, came to the microphone. And he said, in World War II, Hitler practiced something called eugenics. And his idea was the creation of a super race. And he said, brothers, you need to understand Planned Parenthood started there.
Yes.
With eugenics.
Yes.
And getting rid of, and I'm thinking, good night.
Truth.
What a good job.
Yes.
And you're from a white guy. It's different. One of the black guys saying that they're black guys. I'm going.
Yeah.
And the response was to change the subject as quick as we possibly can.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and I thought, oh.
Shameful.
Oh. Guy hit a home run, and the crowd said, I think it was a foul ball.
Yeah.
Oh. That's people.
Yeah.
I know it. Oh, what a heartbreak.
Mm-hmm.
It especially broke my heart since I so seldom hear anybody who agrees with me about much of anything. When it happens and nobody else gets it, I think, good night.
That's a shame.
Well, Paul wraps up the book warning about some professing and having erred concerning the faith. I love when people say, well, he erred. Because what they're trying to do is correct somebody, and they made a mistake when they're correcting them. Because the word is pronounced erred until it gets changed. That, by the way, ranks, I think, fourth or fifth in my list of pet peeves.
Mm.
You mispronounce a word long enough, and it becomes accepted.
Yes.
Yeah.
Woken is not a word.
No.
But it soon will be.
Yes. Yes.
It's erred. It's economics.
Not
economics.
Mm-hmm. Amen, amen.
But the English language is tweeting away. Disappearing in a 140 character tweet.
Yes.
Grace be with thee. Paul ends it up. Having dumped on Timothy six chapters of the most hardcore, intense, my way or the highway chapters that you'll ever read in the Bible.
Yes.
Graciousness is not anything else.
No.
Grace is a product of right doctrine, not wrong doctrine. Small wonder people would rather go to 1 John and talk about love.
Yeah.
Small wonder Paul is so disregarded and sometimes even vilified. We've taken away, I think, from 1 Timothy the fact that the elder that Timothy needs to become has to fix for himself a level of studiousness, doctrinal integrity, personal integrity, and stand fast for the truth that Paul delivers, not to equivocate. People don't need help equivocating. People don't need help compromising.
Right.
Water and preachers tend to take the course of least resistance and flow downhill.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Paul's telling Timothy to stand fast.
Amen.
That's the right thing.
Yes.